Good evening, I'm John Batchelor. Tonight the show begins in conversation about Crimea 2014. My colleague Brad Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy comments on a conversation he had with Assistant Secretary of Defense Celeste Wallander, asking her, was it a mistake for the Obama administration? She participated in the administration. She has very candid memories and is helpful. Was it a mistake not to push back on Putin for the little green men of Crimea? The answer was blunt, yes. And then we're off to converse with Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation about dissent growing in the United States and in the EU, about the Ukraine war and what is the ambition, what is the end, what does victory look like, how long and why. The conversation about peace or ceasefire is not underway to our knowledge. And then a conversation about China and the United States. There's said to be a summit of some sort at hand, perhaps during the APEC conference in San Francisco later this fall. However, the doubts are raised Joe Biden would accomplish. At this point, Xi Jinping has a frayed economy, lack of confidence in any of the institutions because of the credit bubble and other abuses, and also questions raised about whether the PLA will follow Xi Jinping, trust him, all of that. What can the United States do for Xi Jinping? He's led his country over the cliff. And then a conversation with Cleo Pascal about the very complicated relationship the U.S. has with the Marshall Islands, the Federated States of Micronesia, and Palau, three sovereign states in the Pacific between Hawaii and the Philippines. Marshalls in particular, the complication has to do with the fact that the U.S. conducted more than 50 atomic tests there between 46 and 54, damaging badly the people and the land, paying reparations ever since. However, it's a tangle of law and obligations, and this now leads to part of the conversation about the contest between the U.S. and China over these island states across the Indo-Pacific, but particularly in the Pacific, Oceania. That conversation is ongoing in negotiations, but at the same time, the U.S. Congress, in not following through on the budget, have complicated the matter. And then to the Western Balkans, Ivana Stradner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy informs why Vucic, the president of Serbia, permitted a brutality towards the people of Kosovo, a brutality that the prime minister of Kosovo calls terrorism. What is it that Vucic wants? He wants to be reelected, yes, but at the same time, he's understood to be a servant of Vladimir Putin and the Kremlin. This is Serbia linking itself to the Kremlin to bully the Western Balkans, and the resentment about Kosovo, which used to be part of Serbia, is profound. And then a conversation at great length with Richard Epstein, first about freedom of speech on campus. It's alarming. And then about the FTC under its new leadership, Lina Khan, bringing a monopoly, anti-monopoly suit against Amazon. It's a puzzle, given that there are many other choices. I choose Amazon because it's convenient and my dog likes the delivery man. There's nothing monopolistic about that, but Richard has many thoughts about Lina Khan's lawsuit. And then my colleagues, Ernesto Araujo and Joseph Umar, we move through the Americas and the remains of the elections, the border crisis, in particular, Russia's inroads into the Americas, people looking upon Russia as favorable, as welcome, as an antidote to what is perceived to be the bullying of the United States. Later on, two observations about Pakistan following a bombing, and then a conversation with Bill Raggio about an awful day in American history, August 26, 2021, the day that a suicide bomber said to be ISIS came close to the Abbey Gate and destroyed himself, killing more than 170 Afghans and 13 American Marines. We knew who the bomber was. We knew his name. We knew how he was dressed. I learned all this from a new book, Kabul, by James Dunleavy, James Hansen and Jerry Dunleavy. However, I asked Bill again, why is it that the State Department, the Biden administration, won't say the bomber's name? We know it. They know it. Why not? And Bill has a complicated answer. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you.